Today, it is my pleasure to have with me in the studio Amy and James Harder, who opened Float Harder Relaxation Center, a three-tank float center in Portland earlier this year. They first learned about floating in sensory deprivation tanks while living in Colorado and realized its potential for improving well-being. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know you had to actually close your center just to come do this with us today. So I feel very special, like that I'm depriving other people of relaxation out there. So, well, hopefully this will spread the news and like it'll make up for the relaxation that a few individual people wouldn't have gotten for a couple hours.
We're happy to be a part of this and it'll help get the word out about floating.
Well, so let's talk about floating. I had the opportunity to float yesterday, and it was really unlike anything that I've done before. I don't know that many people who have had the opportunity to experience this.
Well, as word's getting out, we're having more people come and experience floating, and people are loving it. Inside the float tanks, there's 10 inches of water with 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt dissolved into it, and the water and the air heated to 93.5 degrees, which is the average temperature of the outer layer of skin. And that makes it to where after a while of laying there, you really have a hard time determining where your body ends and the water and air begin. And inside our tanks, there's a nice colored light and also some speakers built in, so you can have a nice light, listen to some music, or if you choose to, you can turn it all off and it's completely dark, completely silent, and just a great way for your mind and your body to relax.
It's really just this unique environment. When do you ever get to lay peacefully suspended, almost weightless? You could have complete darkness, complete silence. It's just like
peace and quiet.
Yeah, no place on earth. So
it seems like this is something that we actually need more and more in this day and age. And it's really, some of it is that we've become really connected in a good way, and then also in a way like, okay, now we can't turn it off. But you can't be connected if you're in the float tank. I mean, you're connected, but you're connected with yourself and
for
your
sure.
mind and the water.
Yeah,
and that's
making
about
a deep self-connection is so important. And like you said, we're so constantly bombarded with stimulation these days. You know, just having your phone in your hand so much of the day, so many people do it. And just putting someone in a float tank for 90 minutes, you know, most people don't go 90 waking minutes without checking their Facebook or their Instagram. So just that kind of separation from the rest of the world is really great for you. So
you were in Colorado when you first experienced floating.
Yes. Yeah. We were just looking for a place to have a massage, and we found a spa that had a couple of float tanks. And we thought, what is this? So we did a little bit of internet research. And
sounded great. Yeah. So we booked a couple sessions and went down to Denver and tried floating and fell in love with it. And then in 2013, we came back home to Maine to hike the Appalachian Trail. And after we finished that, we really wanted a place to float, and there was no commercial float center. There were a couple people who had float tanks in their homes that they would rent out when it was possible for them. And we wanted something to make it really accessible to everyone all the time. So we started doing some research and worked really hard and saved every penny we could scrounge up and started a float center. So,
yeah, your center is really, it's really impressive. It's very modern and clean and peaceful and up to date. And I mean, it's really, I can tell that you've put a lot of thought and a lot of kind of blood, sweat, and tears into this place.
Thank you.
A lot of sleepless nights.
We put a lot of time into it. And what we're trying to do is make floating seem inviting. So many people are nervous to try floating. It's really just the unknown. Once they're there and they're in the experience, they're very comfortable with it. But we find that making this beautiful, inviting environment just kind of helps to calm the nerves when people see the size of the float tanks and how everything's clean and tidy. I think it helps.
Cleanliness is, such an important factor. Other than people's concerns about claustrophobia, cleanliness is the next question that we're always asked. You know, how are the tanks clean? Do you change out the water every time? And of course we don't, because there's 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt in there. So in order to change out the water every time, it would cost a couple $1,000s for a float, and we could only do 3 every 2 days because that's how long it takes for the salt to melt. But in between float sessions, the water does go through a really intense triple filtration process. Goes through a UV light filter, an ozone infusion filter, and also a 1 micron carbon filter. In addition to all that, it's treated with hydrogen peroxide for a constant antibacterial agent, and with 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt in there, it's a really inhospitable environment for anything. So yeah, we take cleaning very seriously. This morning we did our weekly deep clean, where we close down for 4 hours from 6 a.m. till 10 a.m. once a week, and scrub the walls, the insides of the float tanks, the outsides of the float tanks, every little bit of grout in between the tiles. So yeah, we take cleaning real seriously there.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing that you're talking about, that we're willing to go to the Y and go swimming in the swimming pool. We're willing to go where everybody else also swims. You know, we're willing to go to the local, to the lake, mm-hmm. where we have like algae and fish and other people and the ocean, and yet if you're going to be in a float tank all by yourself, you want it to be clean,
pristine.
Yeah, but you have people before they even go in. Like when I went to float yesterday, I mean, in the nicest way possible, you made it very clear, like, people who go in the float tanks, they need to be clean. So we take a shower. So you ask people not to wear makeup or lotion or any sort of products themselves. And then you actually take a shower before you get in there, and you don't put anything else on your skin. And once you get in there, you're as clean as you're going to be. So it sounds like it's really probably the cleanest situation that any of us are actually going to be in anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that because floating is such a new concept to people, when they first hear about the idea, they don't naturally relate it to pools or spas. I think the first thing they think of, because it involves Epsom salt, is taking a bath. And you don't want to necessarily take a bath that somebody else has been in, and they, you know, are just unaware of the filtration and all the cleaning that, you know, all the measures that we do to make sure that the water is clean and safe. But I think it's just their initial reaction is that it's bath water.
And Epsom salts are really, really great for health. I mean, this is something that I think our grandparents knew about, and great-grandparents. And I, on a regular basis, I tell my patients that they should be doing Epsom salt soaks. So I love the fact that if you go to your place, here it is. It's all ready. And you get the benefit of its magnesium salt. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's so good for muscles and relaxation and
skin,
for nerves and skin. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not just the floating in the water. It's also the healing power of these salts.
For sure. There's 3 basic components to why floating is so good for you. The first one is just eliminating gravity. Without the stress of gravity on our bodies, we really have a chance to rest and recover. Helps with natural alignment of the spine. And, you know, we don't realize how much energy our minds and our bodies spend just combating gravity every day. Just to walk around on 2 feet, you know, we're constantly dealing with gravity. And then the next one is a sensory reduced environment. Again, if you turn off the lights and the music inside the tank, and it's so completely dark, it's just it's a great way for your nervous system to get a chance to just slow down and not have the fight or flight idea going on. And then the third one is, like you said, the magnesium and the Epsom salt there.
We talked about cleanliness, and claustrophobia is obviously something that people are concerned about.
Yeah.
And I was able to be in a more of a float room, actually. And I chose that specifically because claustrophobia for me is a little bit of an issue. It's not huge. But it's nice that you have, in addition to these pods, which are basically like giant clamshells, which are somewhere around 7 feet long.
Yeah, the interior dimension, 7 feet by 4 feet. Yep.
So those are already pretty big, but then you also have these rooms, which are like kind of like being in a big closet.
Yeah, or kind of like a sauna. The interior dimensions of the float room, it's 8 feet long by 4.5 feet wide and 7 feet tall. So it's like stepping into a big cube. And yeah, plenty of room for very large people.
I chose it more I didn't choose it because of my largeness, although I guess I'm tall enough. But, yeah. But I what I liked was it didn't, like, just in case I had this weird feeling that things are closing in on me, that it really wasn't. Like, your ceiling on that particular room is very tall. But I found that it actually, over time, I was able to kind of get used to, I chose darkness, and I was able to kind of get used to the darkness. And you provided, I think you have somewhere around 6 or 8 different types of music that people can choose from, or their own.
Yep. Right.
Yep. So I chose the concentration music because I have something I have to work on to write. So I found that that was really also interesting, that I'm still connected with, like, the outside with this music that I'm listening to. But it's also, there's really this just me and my thoughts. So it must be interesting for you to see people when they go in versus when they come out.
It's really fun.
People come in and they're nervous and curious, and they have lots of questions, and they're sort of at the regular pace, which is go, 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 go. And then they come out of their flow, and whether they realize it or not, they almost appear sedated.
And lightly sedated.
Yeah, they're just moving slower. They're telling us about their flow, and it's in this really thoughtful, it's just at a slower pace. And we usually recommend that people sit in the lounge after and have a cup of tea and not just rush right back out into it and kind of reflect on how their body's feeling after the float and how they're feeling mentally.
Yeah, and it definitely has that. It is a very kind of soothing environment, even outside the float tanks. You have people come in and they take off their shoes, and the way that you interact is very kind of calming. And you do have the nice homegrown tea.
Yeah. Which we heard about from your podcast.
Which is excellent, which I love, because I love tea. So obviously, if you have the right kind of tea, it's going to even be more likely that I'm going to show up and do this again. And then you also have some lovely books and some very comfortable furniture. And you also have, it seemed like, really nice people that come in and do this with you.
We get so many really cool people. When we moved to Maine, or to Portland, we really didn't know anyone. We knew a few family members in the area, but other than that, we didn't know anyone. And we've got to meet so many friendly, fun people, and really feel like part of a community here. And that's been a lot of fun, walking down the street now and bumping into people that we know. And just, yeah, it's really, really great. But floating does attract a really thoughtful group of people. People who want to experience, altered states of consciousness, or who want to, just better themselves in one way or another, whether it's physically or mentally. We have a lot of athletes that come and float with us. It's a great way for recovering after a hard training session, and just so many other reasons. Yeah,
we find that the people that come to float, they really want to be there, so they're really excited about the experience, and it just ends up being a really nice feeling inside the float center. Everybody's happy to be there.
And that's actually really important, because how often do we get an injury and then feel like, oh no, now I have to go to the doctor and I have to deal with this horrible thing? And you're talking about, okay, here's the opportunity to relax and to be healed and to recenter. And I think that, to make that conscious decision to give yourself that time is big and not something that everybody wants to do.
Yeah.
And, most everyone who comes through the door is excited to be there. Occasionally we get someone who may have been tricked or not told what they were getting into. And that's really fun to watch play out. We've had some kind of burly, tough-looking guys come in who have either been brought in by their wife or their daughter. And you can tell they're just not impressed to be there. But after their float, they come out and they say, that was actually really great. And it's good to just give people an environment that is comfortable and is someplace where you can just kind of drop the whole tough guy act and just take care of yourself and enjoy some peace and quiet. So even people who don't know that they want to float end up realizing that there's something for them to gain from it.
We've had some people that were really apprehensive and would even look at their partner and say, are we here for you or for me? Because it was like a birthday surprise or something. And they come back on their own after,
Those are really fun.
Now you both have a Vassalboro connection. I know, Amy, you grew up there.
Yes.
And James, your grandparents live next to Amy's?
Yeah, they live around the corner.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I wonder how many people in Vassalboro, when you say, we created a float center, I wonder how many people in Vassalboro are like, okay, like, that seems maybe a little less than mainstream, but we're going to roll with it. What have people's responses been?
People were really supportive, in a strange way. They didn't, unlike Portland up there, no one had heard of floating. Even when we first moved down here and we started talking to people about it, maybe 1 in 20 people would have had any idea what we were talking about. Whereas now, if we tell people about floating, it's usually like 1 in 3 or 4 goes, oh yeah, I've heard of that, or know someone who's tried it, but yeah.
So when we first started talking about floating in Central Maine, the typical reaction was, what? Why would you want to do that? Or do you think that's going to be a lucrative business? So they were open to the idea, but cautiously so.
Yeah. And which, you know, is part of the reason why we came to do it here in Portland, where there's a lot of people who are wellness-minded, you know, people who are training for marathons and competing in Ironmans and doing yoga and Pilates and just wanting to take care of themselves. And there's definitely people like that in Central Maine as well, but we kind of wanted to be around a larger population of people with that mindset.
Well, maybe you can have the Float Harder 2 Center be up in the Vassalboro area once you've been a raging success down in the Portland area.
That would be great.
So, James, you have a background with the Army, and actually your father was also in the military.
Yeah, my stepdad was in the Army, and my father was in the Navy, and my sister was in the Army, and my little brother's going to enlist in the Navy. We're a pretty military-minded family. I joined the Army straight out of high school. I actually finished my senior year of high school in Germany, and it was so much fun to be there, and I joined the Army so that I could stay there. So I came back to the States for basic training in AIT, and then got stationed right back in Germany, and did that for a few years, and got out and continued traveling around and hiking out in Colorado and back here on the East Coast, just kind of wandering around, and yeah.
So when you were doing that, did you have any sense that opening a float center might be in your future?
I had never even heard of floating. The biggest thing I had thought about wanting to do when I got out of the Army, one of my best friends gave me a book about hiking the Appalachian Trail, and I read that, and that was what I wanted to do when I got out. So I went to work out in Colorado for a while and saved some money, and then came back to the East Coast and just hiked little sections of it here and there, and did some other hitchhiking and backpacking around, and had a great summer, and then re-met Amy that summer. We'd known each other when we were kids, but hadn't seen each other in about a decade, and then we got back together, and in 2013 we hiked the Appalachian Trail in its entirety together. So
what was that like, Amy?
Well, it was one of the toughest things I've ever done. I didn't really even have an interest in doing it. When James and I got together about 8 years ago, he was talking about the Appalachian Trail and how it was one of his dreams to complete the whole thing. And I was like, all right, well, you go. And then he started saving money for it, and the time was getting close. He was going to be leaving. And I thought, well, I want to go. So I mostly did it out of stubbornness, just like not wanting to quit. But it was fantastic. It turned out to be one of the best summers of my life.
So you have a history then of doing difficult things together. So
we do.
Yeah. I mean, this is which I think is great. I mean, a lot of couples they don't kind of test themselves the way that you have already tested yourself with the Appalachian Trail, and now opening this brand new business, which is very innovative. So how's it going so far?
It's great. I think it's really important to test yourself and to accomplish goals together. And we've got to do a lot of that. And
I think that we learn a lot about how to work with each other through through these challenging circumstances that we put ourselves in. And it
definitely brings us closer. I mean, on the Appalachian Trail, we saw each other at the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. I got Lyme's disease. Amy got a MRSA infection. Got a couple of different bad things that came down on us. But you know, we helped each other through it and recovered and just kept on going and
then when you see a problem in the future, you kind of look back on what you've tackled and it's like, yeah, we got this.
No big deal. Yeah. That said, starting the business was definitely another very trying adventure. It's been difficult, but we've had the opportunity to work with some really great people along the way. The lender we work with from Bangor Savings, a score counselor from that organization. We've had a lot of support, and it's been fantastic.
Is it scary to do something that hasn't been done on this scale in Maine?
I think it was initially, but the response already is really positive, and I don't know, we love it, and we get to float pretty regularly, so, you know, that definitely helps with our own anxiety and our own stress, so.
It was intimidating, but the way we looked at it is that we were just going to put our all into it, make it the nicest experience that we could for people, and give the best customer service possible, and hope it works, because, I mean, at that point, you're invested.
Really, we kind of thought, you know, we're in our early 30s. If this doesn't work out, we got some time to bounce back from it, so.
Yeah, we were pretty unhappy with what we were doing with our lives before, and we figured it could only end up back in that same situation.
That's a very interesting way to look at it. Like, it can't get worse. It could just stay the same. So that's actually really, that's a really interesting perspective.
Although I suppose it would be worse,
yeah,
with the debt.
Yeah, you'd be paying off a mountain of debt.
Well, you're not, it's not going to be worse because this is going to be very successful, I can tell. Amy, what was your background? You weren't military.
No, I got a teaching degree in Connecticut, and then when we moved out west, I thought maybe I could find a teaching job out there, but it was just really challenging to break into that industry, and I ended up never using it, so I was bartending for the past 7 or 8 years, and it just wasn't very fulfilling. It's certainly fun, and it's, you know, fast money, and it leads to a flexible lifestyle, but It's nothing that I wanted to do until I was 40.
It probably helped you with your customer service skills, I would think, because it seems like that's the type of thing that you have to be very good at if you're going to be a bartender long term.
Yeah, I certainly did learn how to interact with people and even in their altered states and keep everything calm. And
so that's actually really interesting now that you used to deal with altered states as a result of alcohol, and now you deal with altered states as a result of the magnesium salt water.
This is much more pleasant. And it's not till 3 in the morning.
Right. But you do. I was really impressed with, you have very long hours. And what I love is that you can actually book online so you can see what tanks are available. And you have hours that go, I think, as early as 6 in the morning. And into the evening, how late are you open?
The last float begins at 8 p.m. And the first one starts at 6. So the reason for that is that people love floating at all different times of the day. Some people like to come float before they go to work, just kind of start their day in a real centered, positive mindset. And then other people like it at the end of a hard day to just go home and relax after their float and drift off to sleep and everywhere in between.
And you're actually open 6 days a week.
Yeah, we're closed on Wednesdays, but other than that, we're ready to get you floating as much as possible.
You also have, James, a northern Maine connection. I understand that you were up in the Greenville area over Thanksgiving.
We were, yeah, just outside of Greenville in Shirley, Maine. My grandparents have a camp that they built when I was a kid, and my grandmother and my grandfather have been hunting up there since they built the place, and he passed away a couple years ago, and now I get to go up there and go hunting with my grandmother and keep her company out in the woods, and it's just it's been a magical place for me ever since I was a kid, playing with wooden swords and amongst the trees, to now just getting to spend time with family and relax by the fire. It's just a great place to be. It's one of my favorite places on the planet.
It's great because there's very little cell phone reception. So even though we were just there for one day, it was nice to not be dealing with technology and just sit by the fire and kind of slow down a little. It's funny, we're offering this sensory deprivation service to the community, but running a business, we're finding, is so much overload, sensory overload, and yeah.
Well, especially in these early, in the early stage where you probably do a lot of the stuff yourself.
We try to do as much as possible. Amy's been doing a lot of the graphic design work, the web development work. We try to do most of the marketing ourselves or work with people like here at this publication, and just figuring it out as we go. You know, neither of us have any real background in business, so just kind of learning on the fly and having fun with it. But it's really great to just always have something more to keep learning. So
it's interesting when you describe nature and being, that's a place where you can sort of let go and relax. And Maine is really known for that. I mean, when you get out of the middle of the city, you really have access to, I wouldn't say it's sensory deprivation, but it's definitely this expansiveness. And it's the same type of thing that you're describing when you get inside a float tank. But there's sort of two opposite ways of providing them. In nature,
sure.
You have like birds and grass and leaves and trees and things like that. And in your float tanks, you have, it's just the water and the person and the tank itself. So I think Maine is a place where people do actually come for this sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. I never thought about it that way. Yeah, people definitely do like to have the solitude and the relaxed state here in Maine. So yeah, I guess what we offer really goes hand in hand with what a lot of people are seeking.
So what are your hopes for the next year as a brand new business and putting something out there in the world? What do you want to see happen?
I want to see as many people come in and float as possible, and not just for the, you know, financial compensation of it, but just to see the look on people's faces. And another reason that a lot of people come and float with us is for chronic pain relief. And we've had people come out of the tank and tell us that right after they're floating or during their float or for a couple weeks after is the first time that they've been without their pain. And to be able to see that in people is just so, so wonderful. It makes all the long hours so worth it. Mm. So yeah, I want to see a lot of people floating and spreading the word and enjoying it. And
Amy, do you think that the teaching background, and I understand you didn't use your teaching certificate or background, but do you think that this has had some positive impact on your ability to educate people about floating?
I think so. That and my customer service skills, I feel like it takes a lot to get somebody through their first float. There's a lot of little details that can make your float much better. For example, just keeping the salt water out of your eyes and mouth. It's really not a pleasant experience. So yes, absolutely. We need to educate people on how to float and how to enjoy their float so that they'll be interested in trying it again to experience the cumulative benefits of floating. And yeah, absolutely. My background has helped to shape how we run our business.
It's also interesting to me because not unlike something like massage, there's absolutely a level of trust that's needed for this. I mean, you're asking people to do things that is outside of many of their comfort zones, and if you were somehow like a little too energetic or, you know, like there's something about your energy that just didn't work for them, I think that would automatically set them off. And you're asking people to trust you that it's going to be okay, that you have this nice facility, but they'll be taken care of. You know, there's an intercom that they can press the button if there's anything that goes wrong, and there's all kinds of safety nets for them. So is that something that you thought you were going to get yourself into when you were starting this business, this idea that you needed to be trusted by people?
I don't know that we thought about it, but honestly, I love it. When I'm there while people are floating, I do in some sense kind of feel like I'm the protector of the space, you know, making sure that, you know, while they're in the tank, they're in a, you know, really vulnerable state. You're naked in the dark, you know, it's...
You're slippery.
Yeah. So, I love knowing that, you know, people have put that trust in us to look after them and let them just relax and be able to just turn off for a little while. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, there's not that many. I was thinking about the fact that not only have I not been in a place where for 90 minutes I had no access to really anything except for the music coming in and the water that I was laying on and the lights that I turned off and on. But also, yeah, there's no clothing. You're just like the way you were born. You know, you're in this womb. You know, you're returning back to the mothership. You know, there's so many interesting like metaphors for life. And I don't know that that's something you can get in many other settings.
I don't know of any. It's some people say that it's as if you just simply exist. When you don't feel your body and you don't see anything and you don't hear anything, it's kind of like just being suspended in space. And it's a very unique feeling, but it's also a really nice feeling.
It's interesting that this is where we all came from. Every single one of us came from this place of water and darkness and sort of occasional bright lights and sounds outside of us. But we don't really ever have the chance to return to that in our lives unless we make a conscious decision to do something like floating.
Yeah, absolutely. And that sort of reminds me, we have a lot of pregnant women who enjoy floating. And I always thought it was such a neat thing to just think of, here's this woman in a womb with a child inside her womb, and it just must be so neat to lay there and experience what's going on inside of you. And I feel like without the distraction of the outside world, that could be amplified.
A deep connection.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's an interesting like circle of life thing that you're that you're talking about. It was one of the things that I will definitely go back for a float, maybe more than one, because I was thinking, like, you actually are able to sometimes go beyond the way that you normally perceive things, the way that you normally process things. You know, that I was getting some like interesting insight flashes that I don't even think they were thoughts. I think they were just like some sort of weird sensation that would have only come about because the lights were off and there was nothing else to distract me from kind of being connected to that.
One of those aha moments. But you can't really put your finger on.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Do people come out of there a lot with that sort of thing?
Quite often, yeah. It's just something that comes with being at peace, you know, and when you just feel good physically and mentally, you can just feel peaceful and really experience what that means.
I think it forces you to prioritize your thoughts, or at least sort through them in some way. And a lot of people do come out and comment on how they've figured something out. Or I had one guy come out and say, I've got it. I got to get a Winnebago and cross the country. And honestly, we haven't seen him since. I'm not sure if that's what happened. But yeah, come on back in and
tell us about your journey.
That's right. You're looking for the guy who's listening to the show who might or might not have bought a Winnebago. So I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't go back. Now I'm really concerned that if I come out, then I may be a completely different person. I'd be like heading out west or something.
But you know, if that's the person you're supposed to be, then why would you hide from it?
That is a fair point.
You know.
So I guess that's what you're offering. You're offering people relaxation, connection to their deeper selves, to their maybe even their better selves, the chance to possibly explore the country in a Winnebago, decrease joint pain. Like, it seems like there's really not a downside. Are there any things that people shouldn't, if you're somebody who is considering this, are there any things that you say, yeah, you're not a good candidate? Is there any reason not to do this?
Okay, I know this is in our waiver. It's somebody with heart troubles.
Heart troubles, yeah. Incontinence.
Yeah. Anybody who's prone to seizures or blackouts. There's a handful of certain medical situations where you should definitely check with your doctor first. We're not qualified to to answer any sort of medical questions.
So if you have any idea that you might want to do this, then probably the best thing to do is to maybe look on the website, maybe give you a call, then if there are some things that medically might disqualify you, then have that conversation with your healthcare provider. But it doesn't sound like there's too many different things that are going to keep people from floating.
No, usually what we tell them if they do have medical questions is that, you know, talk to your doctor. You're going to be laying in about 1,000 pounds of magnesium sulfate in warm water. We tell them the temperature, and then they can just discuss that with their healthcare provider and make an informed decision that way, because we're just people that own float tanks.
Well, and I, you know, as a doctor, there aren't too many different things that I can think of that would keep people from doing it, because it seems like a pretty, even somebody asked me, well, what happens if you fall asleep? Will you drown? And I can't see that happening because you're so buoyant. It's like floating in the Dead Sea. The salt content is so high that, and your body would just wake you up anyway.
Falling asleep is perfectly safe. Sometimes I get in there and sleep overnight in the float tanks, which is really fun. Have crazy dreams. Just it's a great experience. But because you are so supported, if you do fall asleep, you won't roll over because there's nothing to really push off of. You'd really have to try to roll over. And if you did roll over, you're going to get that salt water in your nose and your eyes, and it's going to wake you up pretty quick. Inside the tanks, we do have a spray bottle full of fresh water for those inadvertent situations. But you can rinse your eyes with that, and then you're all set to go again.
Well, very good. I hope people will take advantage of floating in your Float Harder Relaxation Center. We've been speaking with Amy and James Harder, who opened Float Harder earlier this year in Portland. I really wish you all the best. I will be back again, awesome, looking for those flashes of insight and maybe the chance to cross the country in my own Winnebago. So thank you for coming in and for providing this to us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.